The choir is back. That was kind of weak, y'all. That was a little weak. The choir is back. Excellent. Isn't it great? They're my cheering section, or they can sleep more easily, or both. Behind me, now, back in the chancel, in their blue cassocks. It's great to have them back, and they don't get a Sunday, they get one Sunday off from now until Pentecost, so pray for them. So I have a question. How many of you have ever been in a choir of any kind for any length of time? Quite a few. Are y'all in a choir?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. So some of you didn't raise your hand, but whether you raised your hand that you have been or are in a choir now, or whether you didn't raise your hand because you haven't been in a choir yet, I'm here to tell you that you are all going to be in the most magnificent choir we have never heard. But we hear about them. In fact, we hear about them every Eucharist, but it might slip by you and not realize that we're talking about an amazing choir who surround the throne of God day and night, who sing constantly, never getting tired and never straining their glorious voices. I myself love singing in a choir. I love choral singing, and I look forward to joining the great celestial choir. We heard about them in the first reading. We hear about them really in every Eucharistic prayer that we have when we come to that part where we say, and so we join our voices with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, aka universe's largest choir. We heard about them in the reading from the Revelation of St. John the Divine that Lilla read for us a few minutes ago. People from all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb, constantly praising God. In that reading, an elder asks John, and who are all these people dressed in white? And John says, I don't know, sir. The answer is, these are those who have given their lives because of their walk with Christ Jesus. They are the white-robed martyrs who, as we hear in a canticle of morning prayer called the Te Deum, which means you are God, the one that starts this way, you are God, we praise you. You are God, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father. All creation worships you. Listen. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim, seraphim, sing in English, endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. And then the glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you. And it goes on. The Te Deum is a 4th century hymn based on hymns even older than that. The church has been singing about the church beyond us singing for a long, long time. In fact, from the beginning of the Jesus movement. When I was very young, I did enjoy singing in choirs, but I was not so enthused about the prospect of heaven. I had lots of energy and preferred to be constantly moving or climbing or riding on something. And the way my, shall we say, fatigued parents and other elders talked about heaven, it sounded like it was going to be all rest all the time, which to me sounded very boring. I have to say, it sounded boring at 9, and at 59 it sounds better, but every illusion we have to heaven, wherever and whatever it is, beyond this life, depicts a place where God's people are busy and active and always praising and singing. Cherubim, seraphim, apostles, martyrs, prophets, saints, angels, and all the faithful departed. Quite a company of heaven. They are active in eternal adoration, an ongoing choir singing constantly. All the saints, apostles, martyrs, prophets, and all the faithful departed are part of the communion of saints. Every time we recite the Apostles' Creed, morning and evening prayer, every time we recite the Apostles' Creed, when we renew our baptismal vows, as we will in a few minutes, we say that we believe in the communion of saints. We're part of it. So are all those we love but see no longer, who have passed on, not away. And so are all those who will come after us, whose ancestors and forebears we will be. We are all part of this connection of all God's people. On this All Saints Sunday, we commemorate all the official canonized saints of the church, and we remember also all the faithful departed. Especially today, we will call the names of those dear to this congregation who have passed on, not away, since this time last year. It's been our custom for many years in the Episcopal Church to celebrate All Saints Day on November 1st, to commemorate all the faithful departed on November 2nd, All Souls Day, and then in most places, even if there are services on both those days, on the first Sunday of November, to commemorate All Saints Sunday. We remember, as we combine all these observances of all those who've gone before, and bearing in mind those who will come after, we remember that they who have gone on have passed on from life through death to life again. And we remember that they and we and those yet to be born are, as the second reading from John's first letter declares, we are so beloved by God that we are called children of God, for that is what we are. I'm joyful on this All Saints Sunday, not because I haven't lost people this past year, because I have, but I am joyful because of the reality that those who have left this life have passed on and not away. They have joined the company of heaven, the great cloud of witnesses, as the Epistle to the Hebrews puts it. Their status in the communion of saints has changed from here among us to the nearer presence of God. But they are still with us. They pray for us. We pray for them. They cheer for us, comfort us, support and care for us. They love us still, even as we love them still. Their lives have changed, not ended. We celebrate all that they were and have been for us, and all that they still are for us. We celebrate that we will be reunited with them again. We celebrate that we have the blessing of blessing those who will come after us. We celebrate the blessings of Jesus' blessings, his Beatitudes that we heard a few moments ago. These wonderful words from the Sermon on the Mount that call us to rehearse hope, practice being people of hope, practice being and living as children of God who are hopeful. They call us also not to lose heart and to remember, to embrace the ways in which we are blessed now for all that is to come. And in the meantime, the choir is back at St. Paul's, and in the nearer presence of God, the choir never takes a break. You are welcome to join this choir if you want to. If you would like to, please see Tim. You might as well practice, because at some point, you're going to be in the biggest choir that ever has been. The music of that choir, George Eliot wrote, is the gladness of the world. She called them the choir invisible. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not real. I conclude with George Eliot's 1867 poem, The Choir Invisible. Oh, may I join the choir invisible of those immortal dead who live again in minds made better by their presence, live in pulses stirred to generosity, in deeds of daring rectitude, in scorn for miserable aims that end with self, in thoughts sublime that pierce the night like stars, and with their mild persistence urge man's search to vaster issues. So to live is heaven, to make undying music in the world, breathing as beauteous order that controls with growing sway the growing life of man. So we inherit that sweet purity for which we struggled, failed, and agonized, with widening retrospect that bred despair. Rebellious flesh that would not be subdued, a vicious parent shaming still its child, poor, anxious penitence is quick dissolved, its discords quenched by meeting harmonies, die in the large and charitable air. And all our rarer, better, truer self that sobbed religiously in yearning song, that watched to ease the burden of the world, laboriously tracing what must be and what may yet be better, saw within a worthier image for the sanctuary, and shaped it forth before the multitude, divinely human, raising worship so to higher reverence, more mixed with love, that better self shall live till human time shall fold its eyelids and the human sky be gathered like a scroll within the tomb unread forever. This is life to come, which martyred men have made more glorious for us who strive to follow. May I reach that purest heaven, be to other souls the cup of strength in some great agony, and kindle generous ardor, feed pure love, beget the smiles that have no cruelty, be the sweet presence of a good diffused and in diffusion ever more intense. So shall I join the choir invisible, whose music is the gladness of the world. Amen.